Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. www.realworldradio.fm.
In secret, organizations announced that RCEP is moving forward without respecting minimum transparency and public participation standards. The negotiations of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP, involving 16 Asia-Pacific countries, are failing international standards of transparency and public participation, according to a study titled RCEP, a Secret Deal, conducted by several international organizations. It is quite shocking how representatives of the government are able to hide behind secrecy, saying that it is necessary for effective negotiations, said researcher Susana Barria, trade justice campaigner at Public Services International, in an interview with Real World Radio. Actually, what it does is threaten the political legitimacy of the process, and it leads people to really ask the question of whose are the interests that are represented, because clearly if the public is not informed, then it is not the interest of the public that is represented, added Barria, who participated in the new study. The RCEP is a free trade agreement led by China that gathers the 10 countries that are part of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, made up of Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, Philippines, Brunei, Vietnam, Laos, Myanmar, and Cambodia, plus China, India, Japan, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. A new round of negotiations of this bloc was held in Bangkok, Thailand, on July the 27th. If this agreement is signed, something that would happen this year, it would be one of the largest regional free trade agreements of the world. The countries participated in the negotiation accounted in 2016 for over half of the global production, 32% of the world's GDP, and 29% of international trade, according to the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Energy of South Korea, cited by news agency Yonhap. The study, RCEP, a Secret Deal, was published in July by Friends of the Earth International, the Transnational Institute, Indonesia for Global Justice, Focus on the Global South, and PAUNCU.
This report is very important because it shows in great details how the process of the negotiations is problematic from the perspective of transparency and public participation. So it really shows that it's not only about the content, on which there are many issues, but that the process itself is deeply flawed. So very basic standards are, for instance, that the draft text of the negotiations should be made public, that they should be shared with the public so that people can have a clear understanding of what are the positions that governments are taking in their name, and also be very clear of what are the kind of interests that are reflected in those positions. That, for instance, in the case of RCEP, is a complete failure, as there are no texts in the public domain, and the only way that people looking at the negotiations are able to know what is on the table is because of leaked texts that are obviously not the most recent ones. And interestingly, for instance, if you see those texts, the first line is the first words that are there on the text is very telling, and I'm just going to read it out for you. It says, "This document is confidential and is intended for use and circulation by RCEP officials only and should not be disclosed to any other person. Information contained in this document may not be reproduced in whole or in part by any other person for any other purpose without the consent of the relevant RCEP officials." So it's a very strong confidentiality notice. So that is one element, and other elements are there also. For instance, the fact that there should be impact assessments on human rights, on independent studies looking at the economic impacts, or the environmental impacts, the impacts on employment also, for instance, that can show what are the possible impacts of the content of the negotiations. Those impact assessments have not been done in the case of RCEP at all. In the case of other trade agreements, there have been sometimes impacts that have been done. Very often the independence is quite questionable, but in this case, there are no impact assessments in the public domain. There is also a big worry about the fact that public interest groups have been given a very small and very often tokenistic space where they can engage with the negotiators when the rounds are taking place. It's often an hour interaction, a couple of hour interaction, where actually there is no interaction, where public interest group have only given a space where they can share their concern, but there is no response from the trade negotiators, very limited response in any case, and where there is no system through which those groups can come to know if the submissions that they have made are taken into account at all. And to compound that even more, we have information that companies are given access. Companies are given quite preferential access, longer time of discussion. Their submissions are taken into account by countries, and we have seen that they are sometimes reflected quite clearly in the positions the government take. So there is not only a lack of, you know, a space for civil society and for public interest groups, but also a very disproportionate space that is given to companies. Another aspect is that parliaments, elected representatives, are not taken into account. And in many countries, so that depends on the country's processes, but there are many of the countries in the region where the text is not discussed in parliament or is not shown to elected representatives, except for the last moment of ratification. And in some countries, even parliament don't need to ratify, and it's a prerogative of the executive, as is the case in India, for instance. That's, again, very problematic. And again, taking the example of India, there are several elements of the negotiations, the content of the negotiations, which, as per the constitution, are the prerogative of the state governments and not of the central government. And that structure of constitutional structure of the decision-making, political decision-making, is completely overridden by the fact that the parliament is not even required or the states are not even involved at any point in decisions on RCEP. So these are some of the clear standards that have been failed through the negotiations. And that's something that we have raised also, that there are tripartite mechanisms in each one of these countries, and those tripartite mechanisms have not been used to discuss such a far-reaching agreement. So it's not been brought by the governments that are negotiating it to the unions for a discussion. And while we know very well that such a deal will have very strong impacts on employment, on working conditions, on wages, on, for instance, also the ability to regulate private sector providing public services, which are very important for workers, because many workers, especially women workers, depend on public services to access very important goods such as water, electricity, healthcare. So those systems have not been used, though. Yes, about the access that is given to private sector. I think, for instance, there is an example of, for instance, how the extractive industry, the mining industry in Australia, has been a very dominant, prominent lobby in RCEP, and that it has clear relationships with the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, and there are writings in the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade that show clearly how it says that the sector, the mining center, stands for benefit and shows how it's going to ensure that the sector will benefit. So there is this kind of back and forth going on between this department of the government and the representatives of the what is called the Minerals Council of Australia. So I think that's one clear example. But an additional point I wanted to make is that also from the trade union perspective, you know, when unions are involved in collective bargaining, in the process of collective bargaining with an employer, it is very clear that the union leadership that is doing the bargaining is expected to report back and disclose all the relevant information to the union members, be it before, during, and after the negotiations. And if it doesn't do it, it would be seen as a sign of the fact that they are not there to represent the interests of the workers. And there are many chances that they'll be asked to step down or, you know, to leave their role as bargaining agents. In the case of RCEP, it's quite shocking how representatives of the government are able to hide behind secrecy as if it was a saying that it is necessary for effective negotiations, while actually what it does is that it threatens the political legitimacy of the process, and it leads people to really ask the question of who are the interests that are represented. Because clearly, if the public is not informed, then it's not the interests of the public that are represented. So going back to the different criteria that we have shown fail, that the report show have failed, it will be about disclosing text. It would be about having genuine consultations with a wide range of actors that can then give their inputs into the propositions that are on the table. It would be about bringing it to the different levels of government representatives or elected representatives that should be involved in the discussion. It would be about having thorough, independent, social and environmental human rights rights impact assessments. And there is also another element, that is the fact that this agreement doesn't have a cancellation clause. And it's very important to ensure that future governments or, you know, public opinions that find that the results are not as per what was expected can take a call letter to leave a deal like this. And that is another element that is not there. So when we had a consultation recently in Bangkok during the round of negotiation, the government of Thailand organized a space for public interest groups to share their opinion during 3 minutes. So it's a very short input. But there, PSI made the point that as long as such democratic decision-making or trade-making is not done for RCEP, then RCEP there should be a moratorium on the negotiation of RCEP. That's the position we have.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by Fo Wai.